they know not him that sent me. If I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin. But now they have no cloak for their sin. He that hateth me hateth my Father also. If I had not done among them the works which none other man did, they had not had sin. But now have they both seen and hated both me and my Father. But this comes to pass, that the word might be fulfilled that is written in their law, they hated me without a cause. And that's a quotation from Psalm 35, 19. Verse 26, but when the Comforter is come, whom I will send unto you from the Father, even the Spirit of truth, which proceedeth from the Father, he shall testify of me. And ye also shall bear witness, because ye have been with me from the beginning. If the world hate you, if the world hate you, verse 18, let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless our time in the Word. We thank you so much for the blessing already this morning, for the songs we can sing, the testimonies, the special music, and now the opening of your precious Word in this wonderful passage. Bless it to our hearts, Lord. Help me as I preach. Help us all as we listen. May your name be exalted and glorified, and may we go away from here with a greater desire than ever to know Jesus Christ and to serve him and love him with all of our heart, soul, strength, and mind. In Jesus' name, amen. Jesus has admonished his disciples to abide in him in verses 1 to 11 of John 15. He admonished them to abide in him, and then he admonished them to love one another in verses 12 to 17. And he now exhorts them to bear witness to the world in verses 18 to 27. And this witness is to be the disciples' answer to the hatred which they received from the world, and hatred they are receiving and will receive. Hence, the present section may be divided into two parts. The disciples hated by the world, verses 18 to 25. And then secondly, the disciples witnessing to the world, verse 26 and 27. So verse 18 to 25, the disciples hated by the world. And then 26 to 27, the disciples witnessing to the world. They're following the example of the Holy Spirit, witnessing to the world. You know, there is persecution going on in this world. We're not facing out-and-out horrific persecution, but we're facing forms of persecution, a mild form of persecution, increasingly so. People getting fired from their jobs for their Christian faith and things like that. But Open Doors International, an agency that keeps up with persecution going around the world, Open Doors USA, Open Doors International, they say this: violence against Christians has reached a critical condition. For example, on Palm Sunday, suicide bombers detonated explosives in a Christian church in Indonesia, and the Sunday before was the deadliest day in a long time in Nigeria as radical Islamic gunmen murdered 137 people, including 22 children. And they add, we've been warning you how radical Islamic militias are targeting Christians for unthinkable devastation. Families have been slaughtered. Christian pastors have been beheaded. Christian teens have been abducted and forced into slavery. We don't hear about that much, but it's happening. It's happening. And it can happen in our country. It may happen. It will likely happen one day. Jesus tells us that he has called us and made us his friends. Isn't that amazing? Why did God call me? His grace, his love, and he has made us his friends, no less. No longer are we simply servants, but friends. And because we are so vitally connected to Jesus as his friends, we gladly experience the following. Number one, the world will hate you. Well, that's all right. I'm his friend, and I'm in good company, right? So the disciples hated by the world. So number one, the world will hate you, verses 18 and 19. And if you and I are hated by the world, we know we are in good company. We know we're on the right track. We know we're doing the right thing. We are companions in the sufferings of Jesus Christ himself because it hated me before it hated you, he said. In verse 18, if the world hate you, you know that hated me before it hated you. If you're of the world would love his own. Because you are not of the world, I'm chosen you out of the world. Therefore, the world hateth you. You can be thankful, and you and I ought to be thankful, that the world doesn't love you. Does it? The world doesn't love you. And why would you want the love of the world? You have the love of Jesus Christ. You need any more? What more do you need or desire? You have heaven itself. Verse 9, as the Father hath loved me, so have I loved you. Continue in my love, and if you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love, even as I kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. In verse 12, this is my commandment, that you love one another. I've loved you, abide in my love, and take that love and love one another. And that's what our job is. Love one another. Love the brethren, love our sisters and brothers in Christ, and love those who are outside the body of Christ. Love them to Christ. Show them love. Show them Christ's love, that they might be attracted to the Savior who loves us so much. The believers in the early church went everywhere preaching the gospel. And as they went, they didn't always find a welcome reception, did they? They were harassed, they were chased, they were beaten, and some were even killed for preaching the gospel. Look with me at Acts chapter 4, Acts chapter 4, verse 17. If you're still in John, just flip over to your right in the next book, Acts chapter 4. And verse 17, John and Peter were apprehended more than once and threatened and told not to speak anymore in his name. And they boldly and confidently responded, we can't but speak the things we've seen and heard. Well, look at verse 17. But then it spread no further among the people, the authorities said, let us straitly threaten them that they speak henceforth to no man in this name. We got to shut this down. We ought to shut this down, and we're going to shut it down. They didn't know what they were getting into. They're going up against God himself. And they called them, verse 18, they called them and commanded them not to speak at all or teach in the name of Jesus. What would you do if you were commanded by authorities to do that? I'd be shaken. I don't want to get in trouble with the law. I don't want to go to jail. And I hope I would be as bold as them, but I don't know if I am or not. I trust God would give me grace, and I think he would, but I don't know. But verse 19, but Peter and John answered and said, whether it be right in the sight of God to hearken unto you more than unto God, you be the judge. For we cannot but speak the things we've seen and heard. I love that. We can't but do this. We have to. We are compelled. The love of Christ constrains us. So when they had further threatened them, beat up on them a little more, they let them go, finding nothing how they might punish them because of the people. For all men glorified God for that which was done. That's the wonderful part. Paul, in Acts 9, Paul was called to be a witness to the Gentiles. And shortly after his salvation, God spoke to Paul and let him know what a good time he was going to have now that he was a believer. He sang, Paul, something good is going to happen to you this very hour, right? No. This is what he said, verse 15, but the Lord's, Acts 9, 15, but the Lord said unto him, go thy way, for he is a chosen vessel unto me to bear my name before the Gentiles and kings and children of Israel. For I will show him how great things he must suffer for my sake. Paul, I've saved you, and now go out and suffer. That's the blessing you receive from me. And it would be in the end. Paul would later testify that he indeed had suffered for the Lord and was willing to suffer still, for he didn't consider his own life as important, but rather he would testify the gospel of God. In Acts 20, you turn to Acts 20, verse 22. Paul says, and now, verse 22, behold, I go bound in the Spirit into Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesses in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. Bonds and prison and whippings are going to be what I face. But none of these things move me. Neither count I my life dear unto myself, so I might finish my course with joy and the ministry which I have received in the Lord Jesus to testify the gospel and the grace of God. Oh, that God would give me that passion, that courage, that boldness. None of this moves me. Bring on the suffering. Bring on the affliction. It's nothing for what Christ has done for me. So the disciples and those missionaries of the early church went out for Christ expecting. They went out expecting to suffer. And they counted it a badge of honor to have the privilege to suffer for Jesus because of the message of Jesus. Is that describe you? We have a hard time testifying of the gospel of Christ just because it's inconvenient. It gets us out of our routine. It's going to take time. I might be embarrassed. I don't know how to talk to people. I'm embarrassed to even hand them a tract. You know? Well, they would suffer for Jesus Christ. If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. This statement is to warn the disciples ahead of time to not be surprised at the world's hatred. The world, if the world hates you, and it will, if the world hates you, and it will, remember, it hated me first. So we're in good company. We're on the right road if we have the hatred of the world. Am I a soldier of the cross, a follower of the Lamb? And shall I fear to own his cause or blush to speak his name? Must I be carried to the skies on flowery beds of ease, while others fought to win the prize and sailed through bloody seas? Are there no foes for me to face? Must I not stem the flood? Is this vile world a friend to grace to help me on to God? Sure, I must fight if I would reign. Increase my courage, Lord. I'll bear the toil, enduring the pain, supported by thy word. We read Philippians 3. You want to turn there, you can. I'll try to wait on you. Philippians 3, verses 7 to 10. Philippians 3, 7. Paul writes, but what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things. Read that. For whom, for him, I have suffered the loss of everything, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness which is of the law, but that is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection, the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. John writes in 1 John 3:13, marvel not, my brethren, if the world hate you. Paul didn't marvel. He counted it a privilege to suffer for Christ. John didn't marvel either. He said, marvel not if the world hate you. Don't be surprised. You see, the world is no friend to righteousness, no friend of grace. That is the world system, this world system run by Satan. Not planet Earth, not the globe we're spinning around on, but the world system. is no friend. The world is in active rebellion and against God. Right now, this world in which we live, is in rebellion against God. And I don't want to have any part of that rebellion. And it's the ultimate reason for the world's hatred of Jesus, is that he testifies to the world that their deeds are evil. They're wicked. John 7:7, he says, the world cannot hate you, but me it hates, because I testify of it that the works thereof are evil. This is the primary reason that the world hates Christ and Christ's followers. The world hates Jesus Christ today because he testifies that the world is wicked, that the world is lost. He testifies that the world is going to hell, and everyone in it without Jesus Christ. He testifies that its deeds are evil. And I'm afraid that we are not hated by the world because we are so much like the world. The church today is not hated by the world as it ought to be, because the church is so much like the world. And we desire to curry favor and friendship with the world. If the world loves me, what's that say about my testimony? What's that say about my character? What's that say about my relationship with Jesus Christ? I think it says I better re-examine where I am in my relationship with Jesus Christ. The world is made up of wicked rebel sinners, like you were at one time, like I was. I was part of that world system. And I have to fight against being sucked into it almost on a daily basis. You got to say no, 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 no to the sin, no to sin, no to the flesh, no to the world. Yeah, I got to say no. The world is made up of wicked rebel sinners who hate what is good and love what is evil. And the pure, spotless life of Christ and the goodness and holy desire of his followers expose their dark heart for what they are. Jesus is the light of the world. His light exposes the darkness. I'm to be a luminary. I'm to be a light reflector of the light of Jesus Christ. So my life ought to expose the wickedness of the world as well. Micah 3, the minor prophet Micah 3, verse 1 and 2. And I said, hear, I pray you, O heads of Jacob, and you princes of the house of Israel, is it not for you to know justice, who hate the good and love the evil, who pluck off their skin from off them and their flesh from off their bones? That's the world. They hate what's good and they love what's evil. And therefore, I have nothing to do with it. So if the world hate you, Jesus says, and it does hate believers because they seek to follow the truth laid down by Christ in the previous section, abiding in God's love, keeping his commandments, living a life of joy, being called his friend, being chosen by Christ to go into this wicked world and bring forth fruit. You know, the world is filled with thorns and briars and noxious, poisonous weeds and filth, and is under the power of the devil. Doesn't sound very good, but you know what? Cheer up! We can be of good cheer nonetheless, for he has overcome the world. He hasn't taken us out of the world. You're a Christian, right? You need to be. And as a Christian, you're still here. You're on your way to heaven, but you're not there yet. Why? Because God has a job for you, right? He hasn't taken us out of the world, but he has us living in the world that we might win the world, not that we would go down with the world. Are you going down with the world? Some are. He said, verse 19, but because you are not in the world, but I've chosen you out of the world, therefore the world hates you. You know, the world can get as wicked as it wants, and it is, it will. But so what? Am I surprised? I'm safe. You're safe. You're in the arms of Jesus Christ. Nothing can harm you. This wicked world cannot harm you, and you can be a light in this wicked world. So instead of cursing the darkness and bemoaning how bad everything is, let's be good. Let's shine the light and expose the darkness. We can do that one by one, one person at a time. That friend, that family member, that coworker, and that neighbor, I can be a light. These disciples are not like the world. They are not like the world. The reason they are not like the world and the world likes them not is that out of the world of darkness, the Lord chose these men for himself. He took them out of the world for himself. He took you out of the world for himself. And all credit of our salvation belongs to him. For by grace are ye saved through faith, and that not of yourself. Salvation is of the Lord. And he chose us before the foundation of the world that we should be holy and without blame before him in love, Ephesians 1:4. But are we? Are we separate from the world, or are we going down with the world? Are we like the world? What are we? Are we drinking? Are we drinking? Boy, the world loves its alcohol, doesn't it? Well, it's all right to drink. Oh, okay, is it? God said, yeah, that's all right. What about our language? Is my language like the world, the filth of the world? Some Christians, yeah, they need to clean up their mouth. I don't understand that. But what about our language? Our lust, immorality, porn, pornography, addiction, that's of the world. That's of the world, of the flesh. And I can say no. I can just say no. Turn from it. Pride, problem with gossip, rebellious to parents, that's of the world. That's evil. Salvation's of the Lord. He chose us that we should be holy without blame before him. He set me apart to be unlike the world. Psalm 40, verse 2, he brought me up also out of a horrible pit, out of the miry clay. I was drowning. I was suffocating. I was going down in this miry clay, this horrible pit. And he set my feet upon a rock, the rock of Jesus Christ. Are your feet on the rock this morning, or are you sinking in the miry clay? And he established my goings, and he put a new song in my mouth, even praise to our God. What about that new song? You have a song in your heart? Are you singing as you go, serving the Lord, happy, joyful in Jesus? They believed, and they became heirs of God and children of the kingdom of heaven. So let the world hate us. Let them hate us for all it's worth. I really don't care, because I have a Savior. And they hated him. You can have the world's love. I'll take the love of God any day. Sometimes we need to be reminded of God's admonition to us when it comes to how we view the world, this world system, with all its glitter and gold and glamour. Then it's in reality a stinking, filthy, rotten cesspool of corruption. You can have the world, right? Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. 1 John 2:15. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Paul says in Philippians 2, verse 14, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God, without rebuke, in the middle of a crooked and perverse nation. You're right in the middle of a wicked, crooked, perverse nation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life. So my, we ought to be the happiest people on the planet. I don't care how bad it's getting. Lord told us 2 millennia ago that evil men would wax worse and worse. So we're not surprised. Everything's going according to schedule, but God's in control. God's sovereignly controlling all things, and he has your life in his hands. He's taking care of you. He loves you. He died for you. He's not going to let you go. He's going to keep you to the end. He saved you. He's going to keep you. You have Jesus Christ in you. Jesus Christ is never going to leave you again. He came into your life. He never will leave. Wherever you go, he goes. Whatever you see, he sees. Whatever you say, he hears. All of it. All of it. At home, at work, everywhere. Alone, he's there. He's there. So we shine in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation as lights in the world. Take the world. You take the world and give me Jesus, said Fanny Crosby. Take the world, but give me Jesus. All its joys are but a name. But his love abideth ever through eternal years the same. Take the world, but give me Jesus, sweetest comfort of my soul. With my Savior watching o'er me, I can sing though billows roll. Take the world. Well, our point number one was the world will hate you. That was verse 18 to 19. Point number two, the world will persecute you. Not only will it hate you, the world is going to go after you. The world will persecute you. Verses 20 and 21 of John 15. Verse 20, remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also. But all these things they do unto you for my name's sake, because they know not him that sent me. They're doing it to you because of me. Wow, what a blessing. I'm not alone. He's the reason, and he is worthy. The world hates him, it's going to hate me, but I love him, and he loves me. He repeats what he'd already spoken earlier in that same night, in John 13:16, when he said, verily I say unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord, neither he that sent greater than him that sent him. And now he says it in regard to persecution. They persecuted me, so they're going to persecute you. Christ's servants must not consider themselves to be immune from persecution, from harassment, from hardships for their faith. We think in America we're immune from it, but we're not. We're not. We ought to expect it, and we're going to see it increase, I believe. I believe. The hatred of the world will inevitably lead to persecution from the same world. After all, slaves can expect the same treatment as their masters, as our master. And he's reminding them that they have no right to expect better treatment from the world than he received. And he added, if they persecuted me, he said in Matthew 10:24 and 25, the disciple is not above his master, nor the servant above his Lord. It is enough for the disciple to be as his master and the servant as his Lord. If they have called the master of the house Beelzebub, how much more shall they call them of his household? They've called the Lord Jesus Beelzebub. What are they going to call you? How much more? Why would we think we don't deserve to be slandered, to be ridiculed, to be defamed? They called him Beelzebub. That's a phrase that means Lord of the Flies. They called Jesus Lord of the Flies. It was a derogatory name referring to Satan. They were saying that the Lord was possessed by Satan, which was a very blasphemous accusation. And I think the world should love me. No, you don't want the love of the world. You don't want the love of the world. You want to love the people in the world, but not the world system. And they're not going to love you. But by way of contrast, the opposite is also true. If they've kept my word, they will keep yours also. Okay? They hate me, they'll hate you. If they kept my word, they'll keep yours. As was the case with Jesus, the majority would reject the disciples' teaching and persecute them. But there would always be a minority who would receive the gospel, receive the disciples' message, and the joy of seeing those few come to faith in Christ far outweighs the sorrow caused by the hatred and hostility of the many who reject the gospel. You know, that's why I want a witness. I want to be a witness. Oh, but nobody wants to hear it, but somebody will. Somebody will. You might talk to 100 people, and if one gets saved, that's great. That's great. I got a son that sells Vivint home security systems. You know how he does it? Or ding dong, he goes door to door. And when he first got into that, I said, "Danny, are you sure? That's a lot of work. That's a lot of work." And he goes, "Dad, you don't think I can do it?" And I go, "Well, no, I didn't say that. I know I couldn't do it." "Well, Dad, it's all about the numbers." That's what he said. It's all about the numbers. You knock on enough doors, you're going to sell one. And he made pretty good money on selling one, you know. So, okay. So the joy of seeing those few come to faith in Christ outweighs the sorrow caused by the hatred and hostility of the many who reject the gospel. So number one, the world will hate you. Number two, the world will persecute you. And finally, the world has no excuse. Verse 22, they have no cloak for their sin. Verse 22, if I had not come and spoken unto them, they had not had sin, but now they have no cloak for their sin. They have no covering for their sin. The hearts of men were filthy, dirty before Christ came, but when he came as the light of the world, he shined the light and exposed their sin. The light shines in darkness. Before they were able to, they were able to hide their sin and corruption. But when Jesus came, there's no place to hide. You can't hide from Jesus Christ. No place to hide. No place to run for cover. Don't evade the light. Embrace the light. But if I'm living in sin, I try to evade the light. You can't. You can't. I need to get my life where I embrace the light. And that only comes by coming to the light for forgiveness. The light has come, and yet we still try to hide. We still make excuses for our sin, our lack of faithfulness and commitment. We say, "Well, you know, I'm young. I'm just a young guy or girl. I'm young yet. And I have my whole life ahead of me. You know, when I get my 20s, you know, then, you know, I'll get serious about serving God." I know you young people that were at camp, you got challenged about that, didn't you? You got all that responsibility of living for God put on you at camp. And you went away believing, I need to give my all to Jesus Christ. And you can. You can as much as anyone else, no matter your age. So some say, "Well, I'm young yet, you know." Or someone says, "Well, you know, I'm old. I'm old. I've served Christ, you know, and I'm getting old, and I don't have energy I once had." But you have energy. You got in this building, didn't you? That took energy. For some of you, that took a lot of energy just getting in here, right? But, yeah, you know. Well, maybe you don't have the same energy or desire, but you have. You do have some. We just give excuses. We come up with excuses. I'm just so good at excuses. I can give you excuses, and God doesn't buy any of it. The Lord was speaking of their specific sin of willfully rejecting him when they had no excuse for rejecting him. But it was obvious to anyone with a brain that he was God. He was a Messiah. And they had the gall to go so far as to accuse him of not only not being God, but of casting out demons by Beelzebub, the prince of demons. And they had no excuse. They had no cloak for their sin. The King James translates this word as cloak, because that's exactly what the word is. A coat, a jacket, a covering. An excuse. Basically, it has the idea of meaning they had no excuse, no pretense for their sin. They had no way to cover, put a coat over it. You know, I hide my sin. I've done that. I try to hide my sin. You know, how stupid. Isn't that the most stupid thing you can ever do? Think you can hide your sin? What do we do instead? We confess it, and we turn from it. We confess it, we receive forgiveness, and we turn away from it. You know, we used to buy, when I was a kid, we used to buy a product called Sensen. Anybody remember what Sensen is? Raise your hand. All the old people in here raising their hands. Sensen, S-E-N-S-E-N. When I was younger, I'd buy Sensen. It was like a breath mint. What do you take Sensen for? To cover up the cigarette smoke smell or the alcohol. You know, I knew it. It was a licorice-like candy that made your breath better, supposedly. It's kind of awful stuff, really. But I use it to cover my breath, to hide the smell of alcohol or whatever. And, you know, we have this innate ability to cover sin. And I think I can trace that back to my great-great-great-great-great-great-great-great-grandpa, Adam, and his wife Eve. And he and his wife, they made coverings for themselves after they sinned to try to hide from God. And when they heard the voice of God walking in the garden, they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord amongst the trees of the garden. Are you trying to hide? You can run from God, but you can't hide, right? You can run, but you don't get very far. And God sees us, and God welcomes us back. Remember the story of the prodigal son? The father rejoiced to see his son coming back and made a feast for him, welcomed him home. That's what God will do for you. He'll forgive you. I don't care what you've done. I don't care what the sin is. He'll forgive it. He's faithful and just to forgive us of all our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And he'll do that if you just come to him. Well, the world will hate you. The world will persecute you. And the world has no excuse. The world will hate you so we can win them. The world will persecute you. We can expect that. The world has no excuse because the light has come. May God help us to be the light and to be faithful, come what may. God is with us. Let's pray. Maybe just take time to think about maybe what God has spoken to you about and thank him for that. And maybe there's a commitment, something you'd want to say to the Lord this morning, just thanking him and asking him for forgiveness or cleansing or any kind of commitment God may be moving in your heart to make. You can do that now as we close. So let's just bow before the Lord for prayer. Our Father, we thank you for your love. Thank you for your patience, your long-suffering. Thank you for forgiveness, cleansing. Lord, help us to give our all to you. Cleanse us from our sin. Receive us, Lord, back to yourself. And may we be all that you want us to be by your grace. We love you. We just know we can love you more. We serve you, Lord, but we can even be more faithful in serving you. Help us, Lord, to hold nothing back. To hold nothing back. And as we sing, I follow Jesus. And no turning back, no turning back. Thank you, Father, for this time. Thank you for this scripture passage we're able to look at this morning. Bless into our hearts and bless each decision. Confirm each decision in our hearts, Lord, as we close. In Jesus' name, amen. I think our hymn books turn to 439.